We begin the current daf Masech the Shkalim daf Hey. Begin on the bottom of the Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, discussing a halacha from the end of the Mishnah on the previous daf, which spoke about Ha'achin Hashutafin, regarding brothers that are partners in the properties that they inherited from their father. So we said that it depended mutually interdependent, the two cases of the Chiv and the Kalban, and the Chiv in Maiser Behema, that if one is Chayiv in the Kalban, he's Potter from Maiser Behema. And if he's Chayiv in Maiser Behema, he's Potter from the Kalban. As we said, that Kalban, the Chiv, would depend on if they're not from the Tfisa Bais, it's not one estate, but rather they're partners, then you're Chayiv. But if you're partners, then you're exempt from Maiser Behema. Whereas if you're Chayiv in Maiser Behema, which means say it's really one estate, because partners are exempt, it says Lecha, only individual, not partners. Then, again, if you're going to be Chayiv in Maiser Behema, then you're exempt from the Kalban, because that means that it's really one payment, it's not two different people joined it together. Regarding that, the Gemara says that Reb Chiya, Amar Reb Yirmiya Bai. He asked the following question, that you said that you can't have both. You can't have the Chiyiv in both. It's that if one's Chayiv, the other one's Pater, because they are exactly the criteria, exactly the opposite of the other one. But his question was, V'loma les non amrin, why don't we say, and that is, it is feasible to say, that sometimes you will be obligated in both the Kalban and Maaseh Behema. We continue on top of Hey and Aleph. And sometimes you'll be exempt from both of them. Hey Chavi, the Gemara says, how is this possible? What would that case be? So in that the Gemara, we skip what's in the parentheses. We go four lines later to the word Chalku Hanachasim. That would be in the case where they split up the properties that are there from that they inherited from their father, then they became shutvin, became partners again, and therefore in regards to the halacha of the kalbin, then we view them as partners because they split it up together, and then they went and joined back together. That would be that they're separate people, wouldn't be one estate. Hence, they're chayv in the kalbin. But v'lechilka habehema, but they did not separate the portions of the animals, and therefore regarding the animals, which are the chiyuv ma'ase behema, we view it as still tfisas habayis, as if it's one estate, because they didn't split it yet. It's still, like, so to speak, owned by the father. And therefore, chayav b'zeh b'zeh. You have a case that you will be chayav in ha'achin hashutafin in both the kalbin, because they did split up the rest of the properties, but since they didn't split up the animals, that there would still be a chayav of ma'aseh behema. Similarly, you can have the case of when you're chilku habehema, when you split up the animals, but they did not split up the rest of the properties of the father, petur mizem mizeh, that then you'd be exempt from both of them. And that is, since they split up the animals, and then they went and joined back, they made a new partnership with the animals. So regarding Maisa Behema, they're going to be like partners, and they'll be exempt from Maisa Behema. But regards to the rest of the nechasim of the father, which they did not split up yet, then we still view it as if it's in this case of tfisa bias, as if it's one estate, and therefore they would be exempt from the kalban. Now, what would be the chiddush in saying this? Why did we say that we could have said this, and why didn't we say that you could have that you're chayv b'zeh b'zeh and that you'll be pater b'zeh b'zeh? Because what I would have assumed is that we wouldn't be that lenient, and that is, I would have said that since they split already the animals, although they didn't split the rest of the properties, I would say that we go l'chumra and we say that once they revealed already that they're going to be separating, because we see that they really split up the animals. That is, and they're ultimately going to be splitting up the nechasim, then therefore we would say that they would be chayiv in the kalbin, even in such a case that they did not split up the nechasim yet. That would be the chiddush. So why didn't we say that case? We could have said that there is a case of peturim mizeh mizeh and chayav mizeh mizeh. So now the Gemara says, regarding this point that we just said, that there is this possibility of having chayiv mizeh mizeh and patur mizeh mizeh, not like just the way the Mishnah says, that it's like a seesaw, that either you have one or the other. On that, Amr Mana says, and he qualifies this halacha, and he says that, Hadadat Amr, this that you said, one of the two points that you said, that you could have chayv bezeh or bezeh, which is in the case when they split up the properties, but they did not split up the animals yet. That then you said that they're going to be chayv in the kalbin because they split it up, and they're, although they're rejoined, but that's like partners, and hence they're like paying for different people. That's only b'shalohisa behema right. That's only if the animals were not the majority, and that the animals were not worth more than the rest of the properties. But if the animals were the majority of the inheritance, then they are the bulk and the crux of the inheritance. And therefore, even regarding the splitting up of the properties, even though they split it up and they didn't split up the animals, and that's the case you want to have, that they'll be chai b'zeh b'zeh, it's not true. In that case, they'll be exempt from the kalban because, as always, we go after the rive, and therefore, we would still view it in the state of tfisas habayis, because that is what they did not split up yet, did not split up the animals. That means, hence, the rive of the assets were not split up. And therefore, that would be a case of, yes, chayv and ma'aseh behemah, because it's tfisas habayis, it's one estate, but then they would be putter from the kalban. Now, the Gemara asks on the main idea of the chiddush of our Mishnah. Reb Avin Amar Reb Shammai Bayi, he asked, regarding the Mishnah that said that if they did not split it up, then they're going to be exempt from the kalban. We view it as one item, one estate, which is, does not require, as if it's two different people, to give the kalbanis, which is in contrast to when they split it up and then they rejoined again. So he asked, "Mnesha sisin ka'adim echad etzal ma'isa behema," because you're viewing them, all the brothers that had split, that regarding this, that we did not split it up. So we view them as one person regarding the chiv of ma'isa behema, they have to give a tenth of the animal. Because of that, at poitrim in a kalban, you're going to be exempting them from kalban. Why is that a reason? Although it's one estate, but you have all these different sons, that they're all fulfilling their chiv of machzah shekel with the money from the estate. Why is that exempting them from the chiv of the kalban? So he responded to him, loy shanyihi, isn't it different? In other words, there is a very blatant difference. They didn't split it up yet. And that's as we had all along been explaining, since they didn't split it up yet, it's one estate, and therefore it's not like separate people, and that's why they're exempt from the kalban. Which is shehu neisen sela echad shlema. They're giving one complete sela, which is, as we said, you still have tefisa bias. It's not like halva, like they're lending each other, like it's different people. And that's where they're exempt from the kalban. Well, that the Gemara asks, mi'ata, if that's the case, then even if they did split it up, and then they rejoined together to be partners, where they're also giving a complete sela there for all them together, then, and we take out the words chayavim b'meis v'hema and the vav, that patur min hakalban. Even then they should be exempt from the kalban. But, v'tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, chayavim b'kalban u'patur min meis v'hema, in such a case that they will be obligated in the kalban and they'll be exempt from the meis v'hema when they split up and rejoin together. But according to what you're saying, that it's one seller given for all of them, what's the difference if they split it up or they didn't split it up? And that the Gemara says, Rabba b'shem Abba bar Rav Huna, he says, the same thing that you have by two brothers that inherited their father is it's the same like two brother-in-laws that inherit their father-in-law. And what basically he's answering is that don't ask from the case of when they split it up. Because once they split up, and although yes, they're coming back together in partners again and they're giving one sela, but that's like other people that join together like two brother-in-laws which are not brothers in inheritance. And therefore, that case, yes, they would be chayv in the kalban, but don't ask regarding the case where we said, well, they didn't split up at all yet, which there we said, then you're chayv in ma'aseh behema. That's the case that you're going to be putter from the kalban because we view it as one payment from one estate, from one tefisa bayis, which is not like all these different people, it's rather like one person, and hence the exemption from the kalban. Now the Braisa continues and asks, La'echen hoyo ha'kabaynis naiflo, where did the kabaynis go? So we said that whenever you give the machzah shekel, again, there was a machlokes regarding if it's only when you exchange and you're breaking up either a lower or greater denomination, or according to Remeir, it's whenever you give a machzah shekel, where does it go to? So that Remeir, he says, L'shkalim, he says it goes to the same place where the shkalim go, because it's Remeir's opinion that he said that just like the shekel is minatari, so too the kalb is minatari. It's like, it's kezeh yitnu, it goes together with that. So that goes exactly where the machzah shekel goes to. Reb Lazaim, he says, L'nadava, it goes to the different compartments that were given for the donations of the Beis HaMikdash. Pshimish Zuriyah, he says, it's rikuazov, it's for the beaten sheets, v'tzav tzipur l'beis ha-kodesh ha-kodeshim, it was used to coat these plates of gold for the kodesh ha-kodeshim. Benazayim, he says, shulchanin, these are the money changers that they collected the shkolim in the older different cities in Eretz Yisrael, they took it as their payment for working for the exchange for the machzah shekel. The Yeshem, and those that say, Lohitzos Drachim, it was used for the expenses for the traveling, which either it means, which was the expenses to transport the Shkolim from the other cities to Yerushalayim, or some say it was actually for the expenses for the traveling of the money changers themselves, because originally they were in the Medina, and then later they came to the Beis HaMikdash, and for those expenses, that's what the Kalbanis were used for. Hanulach Perak Be'echad Be'adu. We shall return to you the first Perak of Masechta Shkalim, Perak Be'echad Be'adu. Now we begin the second Perak of Masechta Shkalim, which begins with this concept that we were just talking about, transporting the Shkalim from the distant places, which is when they would collect the Machta Shekel outside in all the different cities in Eretz Yisrael, to bring it and transport it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah begins. Mitzarfin Shkalim L'Darchaynes. That they were able to combine these Machta Shekels to Darkoinus. And that's because the people in the city that would gather their shkolim, they could make it into larger coins, which was a Darkoin. And that was a golden coin. And that was the reason they were able to combine it into these higher denominations, was when they Masa HaDerech, to make it easier for them to be able to transport it to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Kashim Shahayu Shayfris, just like there were these Shayfris, and these were really boxes, but the opening was very narrow on the top and it would widen on the bottom like a Shayfer. And the reason why it was in that type of shape was that no one should be able to take from that. And they would be in the Azar in the courtyard, and everyone would come and bring their Mechza Shekel and put it into these boxes. So just like there were these boxes, B'Mikdash, actually in the base of Mikdash, Kachayu Shayfris B'Medina, so too there were these boxes in throughout the cities. Throughout Eretz Yisrael, because in Yerushalayim itself they didn't have to, because actually those in Yerushalayim would bring it up to those which were in the Azar and the Beis HaMikdash. Now, B'nei Ha'ir Shasholchu Eshekleyin, regarding the people of the city that would send, they would live throughout Eretz Yisrael, that would send their shkolim through a messenger to bring it to the Lishka, to the place where they would be stored, V'nignevu Eshavdu, and it was stolen or was lost from this shlich, this messenger that was bringing it, transporting it. So it depends. Im Nitra Mahatruma. If the truma was taken off of the box, and there was different times throughout the year that from this box of all the new coins, the Machta Shekel, that they would take a scoopful and take it out and use it for the karbanas. Now, that would be both for those coins that were collected already and for those that were ultimately going to be collected. And the reason was that the portion of the karbanas should be, even for those that didn't, their shkolim didn't make it there yet, it's having in mind all those shkolim that are earmarked to come here. Now, if this truma, this scoopful, was taken already, being used to purchase the karbanas, that, and then later was when on the road, at a later point, let's say a day or two later, that it was stolen or lost from the shliach, then nishboin, then the messengers swear ligizbarin, to the treasurers of Hekdash. And that is, since the truma was already taken off, for all money that were earmarked, which includes this one that was on the road before it was lost, so it's as if it was already in the domain of the Gizbar, of the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash from the time when the Truma was taken, because as it's being taken, it's having among all these coins throughout Eretz Yisrael, throughout where all the Jewish people are, that have to go ahead and give it. Hence, when it was stolen already in the property of Hekdash. Therefore, when the Shomer has to swear, like any Shomer, anyone that's watching something, so he's a guardian, he has to make a certain oath to say, I wasn't negligent, I wasn't responsible. Therefore, for him to be exempt, he swears his oath, and then he's exempt. He does that to the treasurer because it really on the road, since the truma was already taken before it was stolen or lost, it was already in Hektish's domain. Therefore, he swears to them. Vimlav, however, if not, and that is if at the time that it was lost, the truma wasn't taken off yet, then it comes out that whose property was it in? It was still in the people from the city that had given it to him to transport. It wasn't yet Hekdash. Therefore, in such a case, Nishboin Lebnei Ha'ir, then he swears to the people of the city, and then the messengers are going to be exempt. But then, Ubnei Ha'ir, Shekon Tachten, that means the people of the city have to go ahead and take out new shkolim, because the first shkolim that they took didn't work for them because it was stolen or lost along the way. Now, although other people were negligent, but he says, I swear I wasn't negligent, and it wasn't something that I was responsible for, and so he's exempt, and therefore they're stuck holding the bag, so to speak, and they got to go ahead, take new shkalim, and bring it up, send it again to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Nimtzoi Sheikh Zirim HaGanovim, let's say it was ultimately found, or the robbers went ahead and returned it, and they had already brought new shkalim. So, Elu ve'elu shkalim. They're both considered shkolim. And ve'ein oin lehen l'shanaba, they can't say, look, we have credit, let this be, one of them be for this year, and the next one, we shouldn't have to pay, let it be for the next year. We don't say that. We say they're both shkolim, and they're going to have to go ahead and give shkolim again the following year. Now the Gemara asks on the resha of our Mishnah. So he said that what they can do is to be able to transport, there's so much of these machzah shekels, it's going to be so heavy, they can make it into smaller denominations by having these golden darkoinis? And that the Gemara asks, V'yasu oisin margolius, why don't they just make it into pearls, which are much lighter? Why do they have to go ahead and make it into these darkoinis? That the Gemara says, Shemetazel hamargolius, we're concerned that maybe the pearls will depreciate in value. And it really means for anything that's what's called shavah kesef, that has monetary value. Whereas in contrast to coins, it doesn't have that same type of concerns, because a coin is a currency. It doesn't have that same type of a depreciation as it could be regarding other things that are worth. And v'nimtza hekdesh mafsid, if you would take things like margolius, like pearls, it could be a great loss for hekdesh. And if we don't take chances, and rather we give another type of a coin, which is going to be less weight than it's going to be if you take all the machzor shekels, but it has to be a coin which is in the form of these darkoinis. As the Gemara says, kahida taninin taman, like this that we learned over there in the Mishnah in Bechairis, that it said, v'kulan, which over there the Mishnah was talking about, all the things that you have to redeem, to do a padiyah, for example, the firstborn of a person, and all those types of things. There the Mishnah says, in all these things, Niftin b'kesef or b'shava kesef, when you have to redeem, let's say, the firstborn son, so you can redeem him with money, or things that are worth money. Chutz mishkalim, except for shkalim, where there you can't go ahead and just redeem him with anything that's shava kesef. Now, the question that they asked was, v'ein paidim b'kelim, you can't redeem the shkalim with vessels? Now, the question is, why not? Why would we exclude shkalim? And avav v'amr b'shmol bar av Yitzchak, the reason is, shem yizilu akelim, because maybe, if you're going to be using to redeem the shkalim with utensils, they might depreciate in value, like anything that's shava kesef. V'nimtza hekdesh mafsid, and therefore it's going to come out a loss for hekdesh, therefore you can't do that for the shkalim. So here also, that's like what we said in our Gemara, shemetazah margolius, maybe the pearls will go depreciate in value. V'nimtza hekdesh mafsid is going to cause a loss to hekdesh, and again, that's why we don't use kalim, we don't use margolius. We only use things that are actual coins, currency, like we have with the machzor shekel, and we could do it with the darkoinis. Now, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara says that Masnita, our Mishnah, said that they were shefaris, they were these boxes, again, which were narrow on the top and wide on the bottom, in throughout the cities in Eretz Yisrael. So, regarding that halacha, that there were shefaris throughout Eretz Yisrael, that is only betiklin chadin. That's for the new shkolim. In other words, for the shkolim of the coming year that they're donating, that these are the machzor shekels that would be used to purchase the karbanos with it. Of betiklin atikin, but regarding the old machzor shekels. And that is, if someone did not yet pay up a machzor shekel from the previous year, loy bada. Regarding that, we didn't say this halacha. In other words, for that, the boxes, these shefaris, were not throughout the cities in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, if someone didn't pay up last year's machzor shekel, he has to come up to the Beis HaMikdash and give it himself. But Tanikin, they actually learned like this, that it says, Atikin b'Mikdash, the old ones, were only in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'en Atikin b'Medina, however, for the old machzor shekels, those were not throughout the cities in Eretz Yisrael. Now again, regarding something that we learned in our Mishnah, we said Masnitin, a Mishnah that says regarding this halacha of Nignuvu v'nevdu. We said that regarding if it was lost or stolen, so he said that the messenger, he swears, and he's going to be exempt to pay. Either he's swearing to the people of the city, or he's swearing to the gizbar, whoever his domain we say it is at that time, if the truma was taken off or not. But he, the shleich himself, he swears, look, it wasn't my fault, and therefore he's going to be exempt. Then the Gemara says, the halacha is dafka b'shem echinim. It's only by what's called someone that's watching for free. He's not getting paid for his work. He said, look, I'll be willing. I'll go for everybody and I'll take up to Yerushalayim. I'm not going to get paid. But however, such a person is not getting paid, and therefore he has much less responsibilities. And therefore, he's going to be exempt in certain halachas like Geneva and Aveda. Of B'Shem Esacha, Loi Bada. However, the Gemara says, regarding someone that's watching for pay, he gets paid for his work that he's watching it, then we didn't say the halacha of our Mishnah, because the Shem Esacher is not exempt by an oath in the case of when it was stolen or lost. To the contrary, if he swears, look, I swear I didn't take it, it was stolen, they got lost, a Shem Esacher actually is liable in those cases. So it must be that our Mishnah is talking about a Shem Echinim, someone that's watching for free, who when he swears it was stolen or lost, he's exempt. And that Amr Baba says, he argues, no. He says, you could say that a Mishnah is talking about, that the messenger was someone that was getting paid. He's a Shem Esacher. But you can interpret when it says Nignibu was stolen, it means ballista mezuyin. It means by armed bandits, which that's a qualification of a higher standard of care, which is called an oinus. That's something that there was nothing he could have done about it. And the oinus is even the Shem HaSachar is going to be exempt if he swears that it was something against my own volition, it was something I had nothing I could have done about it, which is the case by armed bandits. Similarly, Avdu, when this is the case that it was lost, the Gir says, Bimi Shatavis Vinasabiyam, it's still in a case of someone that his ship sank at sea, which, yes, it's lost, but it's an oynis type of a loss. It's something that there was nothing he could have done about it, and hence, even the Shem HaSachar would be exempt. Now, again, regarding something that we learned in our Mishnah, our Rav Yusti Reb Simon says, Asiya comes out, our Mishnah, that differentiates between if the Truma was taken before it got lost, which then we said it's considered already in the domain of the Gizbar, of the treasurer, or it would make a difference if it was after it was lost. And then we said that if the Truma was only taken off after it was already lost, then we say it was considered in the domain of the people of the city. This, that we're making this differentiation, must be Commander Amar Toymin al Hagava. It must be we're going like the one who says that they would take off the Truma when they would be taking off this spoonful, this boxful from the Lishka, that they would take three times a year, they would take it for the new Karbanas. Must be they take it for those coins that are collected, that the people of the city already collected and they gave it to their shliach. And Va'ala Asa Ligvay says, even for those that are ultimately going to be collected, we want to have everybody in mind, even if they didn't make it yet, over here to bring them Achzah Shekels yet. Barum, however, what's clear is Kamanda Amma Ein Tarmin Loy Al Hagavi. The Gersa is Al Hagavi, that if it's not like the one who says that when they would take off the Truma, it would not be going on those which were collected. In other words, for those that were collected by the people of the city, and they're on the way, but it didn't make it yet to the Lishka, Va'ala Asa Lagvais, and it's also not on those which are ultimately going to be collected, then Loy Bada. Obviously, our mission is not going like that opinion, because then even if the Truma was taken before it got lost, but since we're not Termin Al Hagavi according to that opinion, the Truma that's being taken off will not include all those that were, yes, they were collected, but it's not here yet. Therefore, these monies are not in the domain of the treasurer. Rather, they're considered in the domain of the people of the city. And therefore, in that case, that mandam would hold that you would swear not to the Gizbar, as our Mishnah says, but rather to the people of the city. And then the people of the city would have to go ahead and bring new shkalim. So obviously, our Mishnah that says that if the Truma was taken off before it was lost, even though he's on the road, must be like the one who says that the Truma includes all those people that are Gavri, but are not here yet. Because according to the other opinion, it would not work. Now our Mishnah said, B'nei ha'ir sheshalcho es shekleim b'chulu, regarding the people of the city that sent their shkalim, and we said that if it was stolen after that the Truma was already taken off, so then we said that the shliach will swear to the Gizbar, to the one that's the treasurer, as we said, because since the Truma includes all those that were Gavri, so it was already in the domain of Hektish when it was lost or stolen. So in that, Amr Abelazar, Abelazar says, this that we learned in our Mishnah, that the Shomer swears, no matter to who, but the point is we're saying that he swears whether the Truma was taken off yet or wasn't taken off, either it's to the Gizbar or to the people of the city, but for the Shkalim, he's responsible, and hence he's going to have to take an oath to exempt himself for his part of being the guardian of these monies. Must be that our Mishnah is Reb Shimon, like it's going like Reb Shimon. Because Reb Shimon says, Kachim Shruchayv Bachar Yusin, regarding Kachim, although that is what these Shkalim are, they have sanctity, they're designated for the Beis HaMikdash, for Karbanas, but if it's something, although it's Kachim, but you're responsible for it, which in this case is, let's say, before the Truma was taken off, that the people of the city are still responsible for it until it gets there, or at least until the Truma is taken off from it, Kenachasav Hen, Reb Shimon holds, then it is considered like your own properties, and therefore, that's why our Mishnah says that there's a chiyuv of a shvua. Because if not, if it wouldn't be going like Reb Shimon, there's a general rule we know that's einish boin alekdeshes. You don't swear on hektish. And therefore, this Shem would not have to take an oath. Obviously, our Mishnah is saying that he has to take an oath, must be going like Reb Shimon, who says that since there's a responsibility on the part of the people of the city, that although it's hektish already, but if something happens to it, they're going to be responsible for it, and they're going to have to give new shkalim. That's why the shliach has to take an oath. However, Omer B'yechim B'yechim says, he says, no, divrei ha-kolchi. It's not just like Reb Shimon. It goes according to everybody, even those who argue in Reb Shimon. Mishum shvuas takana. And the reason is because it's an oath that was an institution by the Rabbanan. It's not dairaisa, the way the first opinion in the Gemara of Reb Elazar is making it sound like Reb Shimon. But rather, it's that the guardian should not be mezalzel, they should not desecrate the watching of these hektish, of these shkolim. But you're right, min ha-toyra, the halach is that they would be exempt It's just a takana d'rabbanan, and therefore it's going according to everybody, even if you hold that it's, even when you're responsible for it, it's still hektish, and therefore einish bo nalakdeishes. This chiv of the shvu that we're saying in our Mishnah is rabbinic, and it could be according to everybody. Now the Gemara asks, it comes out, al daiti de Rabbi Yechanan nicha. According to Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, which was the last one mentioned, that he said that it's going like everybody, this chiv shvua. Because although you don't swear by hektashes, it's rabbinic. We don't want them to be negligent to say, oh, I'm not responsible anyway to take an oath and I'm not going to be so careful. We want them to be careful. Therefore, they have to take an oath. So therefore, we can understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah that said that if it got lost after the trum was taken off, we said, nishboim ligizbarim. We said that you take an oath for the treasurers. And vimlav, and if the trum was not yet taken off, nishboim levnei ha'ir, that then they swear to the people of the city. Then the people of the city take other ones. We continue on to Amud Beis Tachtehen in place of them. And the reason is that for either way, for the people of the city, for the Gizber, whoever's domain it was in that time, either way it was hektish. But we said it's not a problem because Mishum Shavuos Takana, as Rabbi Yechanan explained, the reason is, although you don't take an oath for hektish, but it's rabbinic. We don't want them to be mezalzel in the hektish of the Machtza Shekel. El Rabbi Laza, but according to Rabbi Laza, that he said, no, it's not like everybody. It was going like Rabbi Shimon, and obviously he holds that this oath is, the Eirais is biblical. So that's very well in the case of Nishbon Lebnei Ha'ir. When they swear to the people of the city, Hadihid Rabbi Shimon, that is Rabbi Shimon's halacha, and that is since at that time, before the trum was taken off. So that we said, then it's still in their domain. So then they're responsible if anything happens to it. So therefore we view it as their properties and not as hektish. And yes, in that case, we understand why the Shemir would still have to make a Shavua, because it's hektish that the people of the city are still chayv and achrayis. But nishboin ligizbarim, but in the case of the Reisha, when we're saying that they have to swear to the treasurers, even if you're going to say our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, it's still difficult, because since it's already in the domain of the gizbar, of hektish, once the truma is taken off, so then it's hektish. Gizbar mayavadetayu, what are the treasurers doing over here? And that is, what's the point of this oath? This is classic hektish. There's no one that's responsible. It's already by hektish. And therefore, what would be the purpose of that oath? And the Gemara remains with a question on this. And hence, so the Gemara continues and answers and says that you're right, that they are exempt. In that case, the Shemir would be exempt from making a shvur regarding the hektish to be responsible of the achrayas. There is no such shvua, because since, for sure, in the case of when the truma is already taken off, where it's already in the domain of the gizbar of hektish, there's no shvua to be taken. And without going like Rabbi Yechanan, it says it's a shvua's takanahi. So then what is the pshat according to Rabbi Laza? Rather, the interpretation is nishboin lebnei ha'ir. This halacha is saying that they swear to the people of the city to get paid, because they're doing a service. They're a messenger service. They're delivering it to the Beis HaMikdash. They want to get paid. But they have to do that b'maimed gizbar. When we said that they swear to the gizbar, they're not swearing to the gizbar, because you don't make an oath regarding hektish. It's in front of the gizbar, they're swearing, look, it was stolen, it was lost, and they're making this oath to the people of the city so that they could get paid. Now, there's two reasons why they have to do this. And one is that they should not be suspicious of them, to suspect them. That's why they're doing this oath in front of the gizbar, when they want to get paid for their delivery. Inami, another reason is delay nashvilahu paishan, that they should not consider them as negligent. Those are the two reasons, either not to suspect them or that they shouldn't consider them negligent. That's why they're making this oath. But it's not because of the swearing to hektish to be exempt, because you never make a shvua on hektish. However, it's to get paid, saying, look, we want to get paid. You want to know why it didn't get there? We swear it got stolen, it got lost, and they do this in front of the gizbarim, and then they could do that to be able to get their payment. Now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation, that he said that this oath is not deraisa like Rabbi Shimon. Rather, it's a takanas chachamim. And the reason is because we don't allow hektish to just go out from its status, which it had, without an oath, with someone being responsible. You're right, ein nishbon alek deshes, but we want someone to come forth and swear to us that this is what happened. So then, afapi shekiblu b'nei ha'ir l'shalem. So then, even if what comes out based on this, that this is the halachic reasoning behind this oath, that's not your classic shvuas hashemim, that to be exempt, he takes the oath. Rather, it's a rabbinic invention that we don't want people to be mezalzel in the hektish status of these machtza shekels. So even if the people of the city except to pay. And they say, look, we're going to pay. We don't want him to swear that if he was responsible, if he was negligent or not, we believe him. We still don't listen to them to allow him to not have to make the shvuah, because they're taking the fall for him and saying, look, we'll just bring new machzor shekel. We don't want him to make an oath. No, he still has to make the oath. Because as Rabbi Yechonon said, Eina hekdesh yitzeh b'leit shvuah. Hekdesh cannot be removed from the status that it has. There were these coins that somewhere. Either he stole it, he lost it, maybe he was negligent. We don't know. We need somebody to take a stand and take an oath because of, we don't want anyone to be mezalzel. So yes, you'll pay for it. Go ahead. You'll pay for it and he won't be responsible for it, but he still has to take a shvuah. Because it's not, he's not making the oath even because of responsibility. He's making the oath because of shvuah satakana, and we need him because of that rabbinic invention to take the oath anyway. Now the Gemara continues and says, Hifrish shkolei va'avad. If someone separated shkolem and it got lost, and either it means before the truma was taken off, and some say even after the truma was taken off, what is the halacha in such a case where someone designated shekel and then it got lost? So we have machlekes. Rabbi Yechonon Amar, he says, Chayev b'achri yusai. The person, although he already separated the shekel, he's responsible for it, Ashim Seren L'Gizbro, until it gets handed over to the treasurer. Pshim B'lakash, I mean, he argues, and he says, Hekdesh b'shus ha'gavaya b'chol makom shehu. Hekdesh is in Hashem's domain, wherever it is. And therefore, even if it gets lost before the truma is taken off, doesn't make a difference, because wherever it is, it's Hekdesh's already, it's Hashem's, it's just not in the box where it should be, and therefore a person would still be exempt if it was lost even before it got to the truma being taken off. Now the Gemara asks, it would seem Masnitna Pliga Reb Shimon Lakish, our Mishnah seems to contradict Reb Shimon Balakish's opinion. Because our Mishnah said, Nishboyin Lebnei Ha'ir. We said that if it got lost before the truma was taken off, so he said that the shliach, the messenger, has to take an oath to the people of the city. Ubnei Ha'ir Shloiklin Tachteim. And then what's the halacha? Then we said that the people of the city have to go ahead and take out new machzah shekels. So obviously, that they are chayiv nachrayis, even though wherever it is, it was hekdesh. So obviously, see, not like Rish Lakish said, until it gets to the hand of the gizbar, they're responsible and they have to take out new machzah shekels. So on that, the Gemara answers, loy oid hi mishum shvuas takana. That isn't it the same thing like we had mentioned in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, that just like the shvuas hatakana, this is the same type of halacha, that just like we said, that the messenger has to take the oath, it's only rabbinic, because we don't want to desecrate the shkolim, we want someone to take responsibility. Here also, the payment of the people of the city is only a takana drabanan, so that the owner should be careful in watching it. And that is, however, the halacha would still be that if the truma was taken off, that since that is totally in the domain of the gizbar, then the rabbanan did not make this takana. So there is this difference that although, yes, wherever it is, it's hektishes, but since it ultimately didn't get to the hand of the gizbar, to the hand of the treasurer, we didn't want people to be negligent and be mezalzel and say, look, it's hektish, I don't care what happens to it now. No, we want to make sure it gets there, and therefore we say, midrabanan, you are going to be responsible. However, once the truma was already taken off, then halachically we already view it as if it's a higher standard already in the domain of the hektish. Then we didn't even make a takana drabanan, and then we said that then they're going to be totally exempt from that chiv. Now, regarding the end of the Mishnah, we said, Tani, we learned on regarding the case of if it was found or if the Ganovim returned the money, that we have both coins now in front of us because they ended up taking a new shkolim because he says he lost it or got stolen. And then they found the old ones or it was returned. So we learned in the Braisa, Harishainim, the first ones, we have both of them. And we said in the Mishnah that they both have to go and they can't be taken on credit for the next year. So the first ones, Neifun Letiklin Chaten, the first coins are the ones that go for the new Shkolm of this year. Vashnim, and the second ones are Neifun Letiklin Latikin. They go for the old coins, where they are, where there's still leftovers from previous years. That's where it goes. Now, there's a machlekes exactly what is that new ones and what are the old ones. So Elohim Rishonim, what are the new ones? Elohim Rishonim, what are the second ones? What are the second ones that we said that the second one goes for the old coins and the first ones go for the new coins? So Reb Pinchas b'Reb Chiya v'Reb Abba bar Mari, they argue. Charama one says, "Elu shesholchu b'nei ha'ir tchila." The first ones they had sent, Those are the ones that are called the Rishonim, and they go, although that was lost, and then there was they found it. So then those are the ones that are given for this year's. And then the ones that they sent a second time, that goes for last year's. The Charanam and the other opinion said, Elu shehigilu de gizbar tchila. The first ones that made it to the hands of the treasurer, those are called the Rishon, they go for this year's, and the one, whichever one it was, if it's the one that they gave it, the second one, or the first one that they found, whichever one comes to his hand first, that's the Rishon, and the other one goes for the old shkol. Now we continue on to the next Mishnah. Hanoisin shikloi lechaver. If someone gives his machtza shekel to his friend, lishkol yodi, to give it for him, but what his friend does is he gives it for himself, and he doesn't. He takes his friend's coin that he gave to him and says, look, I want you to give it for me, and he takes it and gives it for himself. So the halacha is, if the truma was taken off before this person went and gave it for himself. So now, since the truma, as we had already explained in the previous Mishnah, includes for all those that are ultimately going to be collected, because we want that when we're taking it off, although not everyone was able to get it here in time, but we want that these coins are given over for the karbanis, the karban tamid. We want everyone to have a part in it. So the coin has in mind for everybody that's ultimately going to give, it's retroactively as if it's part of these coins. Now, it comes out that this shekel that his friend had given to him to give for him is really already in the domain of hekdesh, because we're saying we're talking about in the case where the truma was already taken off. Then it comes out, when he gives it for himself instead of his friend who gave it to him, he's really having hana, by using it for himself, from hekdesh. And therefore the halacha is mal. He has committed me'ila, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what is his hana here, but he's going ahead and using this coin, not his friend's, he's using hekdesh's, because it's already hekdesh's since the truma was already taken off, which is considered for all those that are ultimately going to be collected. And hence he has committed me'ila against hekdesh. A different case, hashekel shikli min ha-hektish. If someone takes his machza shekel from hektish, and that is if, let's say, he had money by him that was hektish already for bedek habayis, for the usage of the base of hektish, and he thought it was chum, and he went and he took his machza shekel from those monies. V'nitchima ha-truma v'karva behema, and then the collections were taken off. And then an animal was actually brought from those monies. And then the halach is going to be, then there's going to be mal, then he has committed me'ila. In other words, the one who took his machza shekel from the hekdesh, if the truma was taken off later after that, and then the karban was brought, he has committed me'ila and he has to bring a karban me'ila. However, what the inference is that, however, if it was not yet brought an animal, he has not yet committed me'ila. And that is because me'ila is only when you take something from hekdesh and you deconsecrate it and it's removed to chulin. But here, where he took hekdesh and he brought it to hekdesh, because he took hektish money for bedek habayis, and he's using it for the machzah shekel, which is also hektish, is going from one pocket to the next pocket, although he's having ana, you have not committed me'ila until after there was a maisa done to the second hektish, which has removed it to chulin, so therefore it's only ultimately a commitment of me'ila, only if ultimately the animals are bought and then brought, because only then do we consider that, oh, the monies that the machzah shekel went to, whoever's selling the animals, it becomes chulin now, and then the animals become hektish. That's when he has committed me'ila. But the fact that he took the machzah shekel coin from hektish, that's going from hektish to hektish, that is not yet an iser, a chiyuv of the carbon of me'ila. Now, another case is mimaiser sheni with mei shvias. So let's say he took his machzah shekel from money that was maiser sheni money, or from money of shmitah year. The halacha is, which he cannot use from the machzah shekel. So therefore, what he has to do is yoichel kenegdon. He has to eat correlating to that, which the Gemara will explain exactly what does that mean. Now the Mishnah said hashekel. If someone took his machzah shekel from hektish, and then we said that then later the truma was done and an animal was brought with that, then we said that he has committed me'ila. So therefore the Gemara asks, anan tenina, we learned in our Mishnah that imkarva habehema, it's only, as we explained, if ultimately the animal is actually brought as a carbon, then he has committed his me'ila, because the fact that he took the hektish to the hektish wasn't. It's only that then the animals were bought, and then it was brought as a carbon. That's when he has committed his me'ila. Then it was yoitz l'chulam. However, v'tani bei Rabbi, we learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi, in the Braisa, it says, im nitshima hachuma, it doesn't have to be brought as a carbon. He has committed his me'ila from the time that the trumas were taken off, From that time when the trumas were taken off to be purchasing a carbon, from then the rate is committed me'ilah. That's not like our Mishnah. Then we skip the words that are inside the parentheses, and we go, so man tana, so who is the tana, the b'raisa, that's telling us that im nitcher mahatruma, that even when it's an earlier stage, as long as the trumas were taken off from that machta shekel that he took from Hekdash of Bet Gabayis, from then the Israeli committed me'ilah, even before the carbon is being brought as a carbon. And that the Gemara answers, Rib Shimon. It's going like Rib Shimon. Dumb Rib Shimon, because Rib Shimon says, Miyad hayu mekabel ma'isav. He immediately accepted his money. Now, this is Rib Shimon's opinion that he argues over there in the Mishnah, where it says that those who would deliver goods and items to Hekdash, the opinion of those who argue with Rib Shimon say that if someone's selling items to the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't get paid until there's a ritzui on the Mizbeach. In other words, until the services with that, for example, animal have been completed, you don't get paid until the process has been done. Whereas Rib Shimon holds that, no, right away, the one who's selling the animal, let's say, to the Beis HaMikdash, he right away gets paid his money. And we're not concerned, which is the opinion of those who argue Rib Shimon, that maybe there's going to be a psul, something is going to happen wrong to the item that was sold, and it's going to come at a loss to Hekdash. So they say, no, you don't get paid until we find that everything works out. Then the animal is already hikriv, it's already brought. Then if the service works out, we're not going to lose anything, then you get paid. But until it totally works out, you're not going to get paid. Shimon argues. And he says, because v'hakahanim is reason him, kahanim are careful. And therefore, even if the animal was not sacrificed yet, they just purchased it, the money was immediately removed to Chulin. It was already deconsecrated when the Gizba, the treasurer of Hekdash, comes and says, okay, you're selling the animals. How much does it cost? It gives him the coins of the Machsa Shekel. The animal gets transferred to the Gizba. That becomes Hekdash now. And the coins get deconsecrated to Chulin. From then already, there's the Me'ilah has been committed, because now the one who provides it has these coins, is already Yotze L'Chulin. That is the Braisa that's going like Rib Shimon, who holds already then when there's committed Me'ilah. Whereas our Mishnah is going like those who argue Rib Shimon and say that no, until the actual animal is brought, we don't consider it that the coins that the one who sold it is as if it's his, as if it's Chulin, because if it doesn't work out, he's not going to get the monies. And therefore, that's only when then it's Yotze L'Chulin, and then it'll be considered as Me'ilah. Now, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara says V'kasha. We had a difficulty in our Mishnah. Why is it that when somebody uses his friend's shekel and he says, here, give this matzah shekel for me, and he ends up using it for himself, that he has committed me'ilah? And the Gemara says in the following term, ilu ha-goinev oilosei shel chaveiroi. Were it not to be that in the case of if someone would steal the carbon oil of his friend, v'shachtei stam, and without saying anything, he didn't say that, let it be for me, let it be, he just brought it and sacrificed it. Wouldn't it be that without any other indication that it would be an atonement for the original owner? And that is most definitely it would be a kapar for the original owner because it's his carbon. If he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, she steals his oil and goes and brings it to the kohen and says, bring, I want you to bring it as an oila. It's going to work for who it really is, which is the original owner. Therefore, the question is, here also by the shkolim, when it's brought to the lishka, and it's not recognizable whose shekel it is, and there's just a general, generic truma that's taken off from all these coins. Whoever's it is, it is. And therefore, ultimately, the shekel works for the original owner. So why are we saying that this person who, quote, stole his friend's chmechza shekel, he has to bring a carbon me'ilah? What is he having hanah here? He's not even having any hanah because it's not even working for him. It's working for his friend because that's whose it is. And that thing where it says, Amr Yudin, tifter b'misulim, you have to interpret our Mishnah as talking about a case where it's distinct, and that it's recognizable that it's his, the second person that's bringing it, who stole it from his friend, that, and therefore it is considered like as if he's bringing it for himself, and it's not going to work for the original owner. Because the way he did it was the same way that Michel based Rabbi Gamliel, he did it the same way that the household of Rabbi Gamliel used to do it. As the Gemara explains in the Mishnah later on in Parag Gimel, that they would come at the time of the Truman, they would throw the coin in, they wanted to see to make sure that the one who was doing the collections would push to make sure that the coin that the household of Rebbe Gamliel, that it got into this Truman. Because although the coins are for everyone, the coin has a mind that should be for everyone, but they wanted to make sure their coin actually got in. And therefore, since this person threw in his thing and he made sure to get it in, it's obvious that it's for himself, not for the original owner. That's why he has committed me'ila. But then the Gemara asks, v'chosh loimer. We should still be concerned, and that is, it's still difficult why he brings a krav me'ila. Because shema l'shiyar mei naiflin, maybe it fell to the leftovers, and that is, maybe the animal was not purchased from this actual shekel. Rather, it was left over in the larger box. And that's what's known as shiyari halishka. Those are the leftovers of the box. And therefore, v'chiyesh me'ila b'shiyarayim, is there a halach of me'ila by the leftovers? It's not. Ella, rather, so as the Gemara continues its questioning, so what do you would want to say that our stam mishnah is kremeir, like a remeir? The remeir aimer that you would have to say, like remeir says, that he says moyalin b'shiyar, that you commit me'ila with the leftovers, but the halacha is not like remeir. Rather, like those who argue under remeir and consider it, that it's not me'ila. So therefore the question is, what type of hana did this person have if we don't know for sure? How could he bring karb me'ila? Maybe it's from the leftovers, and we don't hold like remeir that there's me'ila in the shiyarim. So therefore, why is there a karb me'ila being brought by this person who, quote, stole his friend's machzah shekel? To which the Gemara answers, Aydi b'misulim, this is exactly like we just said before, that we're talking about that it was specific, it was identifiable, and that is like Shalbeis Rabbi Gamliel, that it was like the house of the Rabbi Gamliel, Shay Miskavin Retirement Lishmai, that they would intend and they would do the truma for their sake, and therefore we could say that we know for sure that the animal was purchased from this shekel, because we see when he's scooping it in, he throws it in, he makes sure it gets into the scoop, and that's why he has committed Me'ila. Because we know that it's not from the Shiyarim, we see it as he's scooping it up, that his coin got into it. But the Gemara still asks, regarding this halacha, so we know it got in, and we know that it's identifiable, and that's why we say that for sure he's stealing it from his friend. But still the Gemara asks, Ma nene, what pleasure, what hana did this person who, yes, he stole and he got it into the scooping, why is he bringing a krav me'ila? Me'ila is only if you have hana from Hekdesh. Here, what type of hana did he have? If you're going to say because he has fulfilled his mitzvah of the machzah shekel, because he, quote, stole it from his friend, that's not hana, because we know the famous halachic dictum of mitzvahs lav lahanas nitnu. Mitzvahs are not given for pleasure. It's not considered in halachas of hana. And therefore, yes, you're fulfilling your chiv of machzah shekel by stealing it, but what type of hana is that? And that Amr Rabbi Oven B'Shem Rabbanan de Taman, from the Rabbanan from Vir, which since this is Yerushalmi, it means from the Rabbanan in Bavel, Mekivin Shebezdin Ru'uyin Lemashkin V'Lemashkin, as we had already mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that if one does not give his Machzah Shekel, the Rabbanan take collateral, they take stuff of yours for not giving the Machzah Shekel, and they didn't take from this person because they saw him giving the Machzah Shekel, even though he really didn't because he stole someone else's, that's Kamashinana. That's as if he had pleasure because he saved himself through the money of Hekdesh, that there was no collateral taken from him. That's the Hanah that he had. Now, Mishnah said, Mimaiser Sheni Bechul, we said that if he took his Machzah Shekel from Maiser Sheni money or Shviz, he has to eat a corollary to that. He has to eat that amount. Now, what does that mean? Like it says in the Pasuk. Pasuk in Vayikra that says, Ach b'chayr asher yevukar l'Hashem b'vehema. However, the firstborn animal that will be a b'chayr for Hashem from the animals, lo yakdish ish oisa, a person should not sanctify that animal. That's a b'chayr, it's already sanctified. Tak kadosh baruch hu. So the understanding of that Pasuk is kol shu kodesh, the Pasuk is teaching us, whatever is already holy, meaning it's already a b'chayr from its birth, in Kedusha Chalalav, there's no sanctity that is acquired on it because it's already Bechor. You can't go ahead and sanctify it as another carbon. Therefore, this shekel that he took from the money of Meister Sheni, which is already holy, it's Meister Sheni, you can't go ahead and make it holy for new things of holiness of the Machzah Shekel to purchase other carbonas. Now, so that's the reason why you cannot take it from the money of Meister Sheni or Shviz. Now, Ketzer Oesa, what does he do? If he went and he took his shekel from Meiser Sheni or from Shviz, so we said in the Mishnah, Oichel Kenegdai. Now, what does that mean? So that halacha is maybe Sela Shal Chulin V'Yamir. He takes a Sela, which are two half a shekels, of Chulin, and he says, Mois Meiser Sheni, the money of Meiser Sheni, B'chol Mokim Sheni, wherever it is or wherever it shouldn't be, Yihu Mechulalon Al Selazur, should be deconsecrated onto this coin. Now, V'Oisa Sela Nitvas L'Shem Meiser Sheni. So now, this coin gets the, in other words, he had money of Meister Sheni, but now he went and he gave it as the Machzah Shekel, which is on its way, let's say, to the Beis HaMikdash. But it's really Ma'aser Sheni. It cannot be the Machzah Shekel. So what he does, he takes another coin, and he says, wherever it is, it could be on en route, he says, let it be, its sanctity be on this coin. Now, this becomes the new Ma'aser Sheni. V'hashar, that means the rest, meaning the first coins, which he had originally given as his Machzah Shekel, which were originally the Ma'aser Sheni, now they become Machzah Shekel, because since it was deconsecrated, it's not anymore Ma'aser Sheni, because now this is the new Ma'aser Sheni. So since it's Chulin, so now the sanctity of the Shekel could be acquired in it, because a Shekel could be on Chulin, it just couldn't take effect before when it was already Hektish, a Ma'aser Sheni. Now that it's not Kodesh anymore, now it could be, that's what it means, Yechel Kenegdo, he should eat opposite it, in other words, what was once Ma'aser Sheni should eat somewhere else's Ma'aser Sheni, hence this is not Ma'aser Sheni anymore, and that's why it could be used now after the fact as the Machzah Shekel that he's obligated to give.